Good Friday morning. Hello, everybody. This is CA, your Christian on-air personality on the iHeartRadio Network. Also, you can catch me on EternityReadyRadio.com, 6 a.m. until 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. Hope everybody's doing well on a Friday. It's been a crazy week. I know we're getting ever so close. I'm going to tell you here in just a little bit what's going to happen on our show. But before I do, I need to play this. That's right. We are syndicated on iHeartRadio. Also, you can catch me on TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasting, Google Play. Well, let me say Google Podcast. I don't have Google Play no more. So it'll be Google Podcast. And we're just everywhere, guys. Also, follow me on iHeartRadio. And, you know, like I said, check out our morning show, EternityReadyRadio.com. Sure would appreciate that. All right. Well, before I tell you what's going to happen on our show today, you can always email me, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Also, friends, like my Facebook page. Search me up, The Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. I would love to have you as one of my friends on there. You can always message me anytime. Prayer requests, questions, comments, suggestions. We are here for you. All right, James Brown, kick it off on a Friday. All right, I know one thing. I feel good, and I know you guys feel good. So, you know what? I just want to tell you guys, it's so great and wonderful to talk to y'all when I can, and I appreciate all your sweet comments. We're getting ever so close to finishing off on our book of Revelation on our Bible study. But before I tell you all about the great and wonderful things going on, what do you say? Let's talk about it. Wouldn't be right if I had some Dr. Funk music, right, on a Friday. All right, well, here's what we got going on. I'm going to be reading a devotional called Trust and Obey. Also, Mark Lowry is going to be filling in. That's right, Mark Lowry. We got a Mark Lowry comedy on denominations, okay? And I'm going to be reading the book of Revelation, chapter 20. We're going to break it down. It goes from chapter 1 to chapter 15. We're going to break it down to the 1,000 years, Satan's doom, and the dead are judged. You're going to really enjoy that. I hope you indulge and get a lot out of it. Then after that, I'll be 2 chapters away from concluding my Bible study on the book of Revelations. Again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of your heart for loving and supporting and telling your friends. You know, one good thing about a podcast is you can always share it. Or tell them to follow me on Facebook or even on iHeartRadio. I greatly appreciate it. All right, let's get those jumping jacks ready. What do you say? 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's roll. Okay, and today's Bible study is on Trust and Obey. The book of Psalms, chapter 40 and verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord in his trust. You know, several years ago, I heard about someone who gave a little boy a dollar. He brought it to him and he said, "Daddy, keep this for me." But in a few minutes, he went back and said, "Daddy, I better keep my own dollar." We've heard that before, right? So he tucked it in his pocket and he went out to play. In a few minutes, he came back with tears in his eyes saying, "Daddy, I lost my dollar. Help me find it." Haven't we all been there, dads and moms? We've all kind of been there, haven't we? But how often, I want you to think about something, how often, friends, do we commit our burdens to the Lord? And then we fail to trust Him but by taking matters in our own hands. We've all been there, haven't we? But then when we have things messed up, we pray, "Oh Lord, help me, I am in trouble." You see, friends, the choice is yours. Do you want to trust your life in God's pocket or in your own pocket? The Bible's promise is true. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Amen? Amen. And you know what, friends? I always want you to remember that. Put all your faith and hope and trust in the Lord. That's the main thing. All right, Mark Lowry, filling in for my characters today. They've been kind of enjoying their time off, and we'll have them back next week. Mark Lowry and Denominations. Y'all enjoy. Well, what can we say? A little bit of humor there. I had to put that in. Mark Lowry, I mean, he is just hilarious. And I thought you guys would really enjoy that. Well, that being said, guys, we have got some great Christian music I'm going to play right now for you. Bear with me here. I'm having to do this on my computer. Where is it at? You know, it just ain't the same. CA's always got things kind of going a little wacky here on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. All right, let's see. Here we go. Where is that song at that I want to play? You know what? Okay. We live in times of trouble to where forgiveness is really hard sometimes. Maybe somebody has hurt you. Maybe somebody has wronged you. Maybe there's been a situation in your life where you just want to forgive somebody. Well, Matthew West reminds us, okay, I've got three back-to-back mixed songs I'm going to play. We're going to kick this one off with forgiveness. You know it. I know it. Forgive somebody that's hurt you, will you? Y'all enjoy on a Friday. Go get a cup of coffee and forgive.
Yeah. myself, wait a minute, am I even on the right path now? Had a couple wins, but I got knocked down. But I know that you are here right now, and you say, sometimes you lose, sometimes you win.
Thank you.
Amen. How about that, Mr. Ragamuffin himself? You got it? You know who I'm talking about? Rich Mullins, the late Rich Mullins. Oh, what a talented singer. You know what? I want to encourage you, as I was listening to Awesome God, guys, if you ever get a chance and you're able to maybe catch it on Netflix, I watched it on Netflix, or if you go to Redbox, whatever you may have, or even search it up on your system, if you can, look up and see if you can find Ragamuffin. I really would encourage you to watch the journey that Rich Mullins was on. It's just very touching, so I highly recommend seeing that show. It's called Ragamuffin, okay? All right, get your Bibles ready. We're going to go to the book of Revelations, chapter 20. Now, Revelations goes from chapter 1 to chapter 22. So today, I'm just going to take it on a Friday morning to the chapter 20. We're going to read scripture verses 1 until verses number 15. We're going to break them down into three. We're going to have the 1,000 years, Satan's doom, and the dead are judged. Now, I'm going to give you my breakdown on these, okay, on a summary. All right, so we start off, and it says on chapter 20, verse 1, here we go. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over it to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw the thorns on which that were seated those who had been given the authority to the judge. And as I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus, and because of the word of God, they had not worshipped the beast or his image and have not received the mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who are part of the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will with the priests of God and Christ and will reign with them for 1,000 years. Now let's talk about Satan's doom here a little bit. That was 1,000 years. And it says, when the 1,000 years was over, Satan will be released from prison and will go and deceive the nations into the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle in short number. They are like the sands of the seashore. They march across the breadth of the earth and surround the camp of God's people. The city he loves, but the fire comes down from heaven and devours them, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake or burning sulfur where the beasts and the false prophets have been thrown. There he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now we're going to break down on the last part of it, of the dead are judged. Then I saw on the great white throne, seated on them on it, earth and sky fled from his presence. There was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Another book was open, and it was which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to their what they've done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the dead of Hades gave up the dead were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then dead and Hades was thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name is not written in the book of life, he was thrown in the lake of fire. I want you to keep all that in mind. Now we're getting into the thicket of it, two chapters away. So CA, what is your summary on this? Well, as you can imagine, I'm getting totally overwhelmed this morning here at Faith Studio One. So basically, on chapter 20, we have now come to evil powers being set aside. The exercise of the judicial authority in peace that is confirmed to the saints. Now, the prophet does not merely see the thrones that are set, as also was spoken in Daniel chapter 7, but the sitters are too. Besides, they are also judged to whom judgment is given in general. Now, there are two classes that are mentioned, but because they might have been, and I want you guys to remember, it might have been too late, after the assemble was gone, for it is the revelation period that we have to do it with, okay? For the witness of Christ and those who had not worshiped the beast. Compare that to Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 to 11, and Revelation chapter 13, chapter and verse 15. You can read off on that if you want. I've read that earlier on my earlier podcast. These were previously departed saints, friends, and they had lived part of their living reigning with Christ 1,000 years. But those who were not in Christ, the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were over. Then they were finally delivered from the second death. I want you to keep in mind the first death they had overcome with the natural wages of sin, but in faithfulness, and in the second death, the final judgment against sin. Now, they would have no part if they had any power over them. In fact, on the contrary, friends, they would have had special relationship with God and Christ. You see, there were priests of God and Christ that would have reigned with him 1,000 years. There were also priests and kings. Now, note how God and Christ are here united in one. Okay, one thought as continual in the writings of John. Thus, the beast and the false prophet were in a lake of fire, the lake of fire being hell. Okay, they were thrown in that. The army slain and Satan bound in the abyss and was risen. Saints and the priests go to God and Christ, reigning with Christ 1,000 years. Now, the details effects, the marks are not given. They did not have the mark of the beast. Now, the object to the place of the saints and especially the sufferers during the time of this book. The rest come in a general fact as the sitters of the throne of judgment. Keep in mind, friends, but the faithful of the prophecy are also specially mentioned. Now, I want you to keep this in mind. When the 1,000 years are finished, Satan is let loose again, as we read, right? He comes to earth, but he never gets up to heaven again. Never. But the nations are tested by his temptation. Not having seen Christ and enjoy the fruits of his glory, no mere means can even secure the heart of man. It is to be depending upon, and men fall in numbers in the sand of the sea, into Satan's hands, and are soon tempted, as soon as they're tempted. Okay, another thing I want you to keep in mind. Enjoying blessings while the unfaithfulness had been present, lost, perhaps maybe even cutting them off. And there were nothing that was even being tempted to them. But unfaithful as soon as being tempted, as soon as the heart is being tried. Bear with me, I've been dealing with a little bit of allergies this morning. It was the last and needed trial of man. Needed, you may ask me, CA, yes, needed because they could not finally enjoy God's natural hearts. They just couldn't. And where the present blessing was on the side of owning a present visible glorious Christ. You see, the deceived multitude not limited now to a third of the earth or a special prophetic district, but taking them in the beneath of the earth went up against the camp of the saints and surrounded it and the beloved city, which is Jerusalem. It is remarkable here. And there is no presence of Christ among them. They are left apparently to be surrounded by the enemies. The Lord has allowed all this testing separation of personal faithfulness, as we well read. He also appeared, of course, these hostile crowds could not have come up with. In fact, friends, I want you to keep in mind of this. Nor through the trial of the heart that had proved the faithfulness of the saints, but had also followed the seductions of Satan. They were pressed upon and surrounded by the enemy, but faithful. Now I want you to keep in mind, once the separation and full testing had been accomplished, God's judgment fell down from them on heaven and destroyed them. The devil was then cast into a lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet were already. They were tormented forever and ever. Let me stop there. That's why you don't want to go to hell. Lake of fire, forever and forever, evilness. You don't want that. You're a child of the Almighty God, and I want you to remember that. This closed the exercise of the wrath and the destruction, friends. I want you to keep in mind of the hostile power and the wondrous scenery that God should have his enemies of the world. Not judicial power as such, seated in its own right, comes in. But it is remarked by the exercise of the on the quick forms that no part of the contents of the book. In fact, the hostile power of the beast was destroyed by him who judges and makes war, as we well remember. The crowds of the apostolics in the end of the 1,000 years were destroyed by fire from heaven. But the judgment of Matthew 25, if you go back and read that in the New Testament, was not found here, unless there was possibly a connection with the judgment of chapter 20, Revelations 20 and verse 4, when we get to that on our next series. There now comes a judgment of the dead. There's no coming here. A great white throne is set. The judgment is carried on according to the purity of God's nature. Friends, I want you to keep in mind it was no dealing with the earth and or the power of evil, but with the souls of heaven and earth mere scenes of judgment disappear. In fact, the secret of man's heart judged by him who knows them all. You see, heaven and earth flee before the face of him. Sat on the throne and the judge, small and great, stood before the judge. In fact, judgment according to the works as it is written in the books of records. Still another element you want to keep in mind was brought into this view. Sovereign grace alone had saved according to the purpose of God. There was a book of life, as we well read. Whatever was written there was cast in, whoever wasn't written in the book of life, I should say, was cast into a lake of fire, which is hell. Okay? But it was the final closing and separating scene of the whole race of men and this world. And though they were judged, every man according to his works, yet sovereign grace only had delivered them. And whosoever found grace's book and cast in the lake of fire, the dead gave up and the dead in it, dead in Hades. Remember when I was reading that, the dead and then on my notes, and the dead in Hades put the end to forever by the divine judgment. You see, friends, the heaven and the earth passed away, but they were to be revived. But death and Hades never. They were, for them, the only divine destruction of judgment. They are looked at as the power of Satan, because he had power over the death and the gates of Hades, as we read. And here it's forever destroyed, were destroyed judicially. I want you to keep in mind, too, they never had the power again, as we well read. They were personalized, but of course there was no question of tormenting them or punishment. So when the devil himself cast his in, there is, but death was not destroyed. But death was not then destroyed. For the wicked dead had not been risen for judgment. I want you to keep that in mind. Now, that they have, and the last enemy is destroyed. They are forced in this image. I doubt not that this is the dead and that they had not been judged. In fact, the whole contents of Hades, if you keep in mind, is the whole power of the death that had been. They are cast into a lake of fire so that the death of Hades had no existence, but in state were eternally and judicially ended after being cast in. Another thing I want you to keep in mind in closing on this, the saints had long before passed out of them, and they were sustained in wicked. Now these were consequence of judgment of the white throne, cast into the lake of fire, the second death, the measure, the limited measure escape was in the book of life. So CA, what in the world are we talking about here? Well, this is what we're talking about. Plain and simple. Like I've been talking about. And like I feel the holy presence of the Lord telling me to share this with you in closing before we have a closeout prayer. Is your heart right with Jesus Christ? If it isn't, you need to get it right, and you need to get it right fast. Oh, I know that people are going to ridicule you, and maybe your pride is, you know, maybe your pride's too strong. Maybe you're like, I don't know, you know. There's some people like that. And it's okay to have strong pride. But you know what? When your life ends here, and it will one day, let me ask you this. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? You either got to go to heaven, or you're going to go to that lake of fire. I would want to go to heaven. It's a place of love, seeing our Heavenly Father, seeing our loved ones that are up there in heaven, enjoying life, L-I-F-E. It's me and Annie talk about enjoying life. You got to enjoy life. It's important, friends. But you got to make sure your heart's right. If I can help you, let me know. Email me anytime, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Yes, there is going to be a judgment day. Yes, there is going to be the book of life. You want to make sure your name's written on there. You don't want to be thrown in the lake of fire. That way, when you do go through the judgment period, and you made those mistakes, but you know what? You accepted Christ into your heart. You know what? When the judgment day happens and God says, your name's in the book of life, I need ye not know what you did. He blotted out your sins. He blotted out CA's sins. He blotted out Annie's sins. He blotted out Jeff's sins. He blotted out Julie's sins. He blotted out whoever's sins. Whatever sins you ever committed, when you accept him as personal Savior, your whole world changes forever. Please keep that in mind. Let me tell you something quickly on Bible prophecy. Guys, things with the virus, wearing the mask, wearing new norms. We have seen things that we've never seen before. It's like almost like an apocalypse. I was sharing with Annie that it's like an apocalypse. Seems like to me. But I know one thing that God reminds me. Hey, I got this. I'm in control. And he's going to take care of us. We got to keep the faith. Please keep the faith. Don't give up on God. Why? Because he never gave up on you. So let's lead off on a closing prayer on a Friday. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for so much for all you do. Pray you be with us, God. Just watch over, protect us. God, in our times of need, in our times of frustration, we can count on you. And we pray COVID-19 be gone. A vaccine happen for us, a good one. But the vaccine is through you. You're the great physician. And we love you, God. And we thank you for everything you do. Forgive us of all of our many sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed Revelation chapter 20. Marching on two more chapters, chapter 21 and 22. We're getting into the thicket of it. If you guys go all the way back to all my chapters on there, you learn a lot. Hey, I want you to remember this is CA, your Christian on-air personality on the iHeartRadio network, and check out my morning show, EternityReadyRadio.com, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. I want to thank everybody, over 2 million. Let me give myself a cheer and a hand clap for that. Over 2 million listeners. Let's give some morning crow. We forgot to give that too as well. God is good, friends. Thank you, Jesus, for letting me serve, for letting me over 2 years do what I love doing, reaching people out there, reaching the lost, loving my brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus' name, amen. If you're hurting, may God just put a touch on you, physical touch, whatever it may be. God, touch them and heal them. Enjoy life, L-I-F-E. Talk to you soon. Have a great Friday. Go get another extra cup of coffee. Bye for now.